over backwards to gain my love for you.
Yo, yo.
Good morning, Steven.
Good morning, sunshine. It is 6:01 in the morning, 91.5 WMFO.
What's this show called?
The show is called Subjectively Objective.
Really?
And it's really gonna, that name is gonna bear meaning today when we talk about everything that we have subjective opinions of.
Okay.
Yeah, are you also woken up a little distraught second day in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a dream.
Sorry to interrupt before the dream. Did you see Rachel Maddow? The little quick thing that she did?
Yeah.
Wake up. You're awake. I mean,
yeah.
This isn't a dream. I felt a very similar thing.
Yeah.
Second day. The
first night, I was like writing an essay and I was like, all right, I was going to get like 2.5 hours of sleep. I already knew that was going to happen. I go to bed, like, fine. My heart doesn't hurt. It hasn't sunk in. And I wake up after my 2 hour, let's say, nap between paragraphs at like 3 or 4 in the morning. I was like, whoa. I was like sweating. I was shaking. And I don't know if you had the moxie to do this, but I just like sat and watched his acceptance speech.
No, I went to bed. I went to bed around 2:30 before Pennsylvania was announced.
Yeah.
To give you an idea.
How did you lose Pennsylvania? I mean, oh my God. She literally lost, like, well, I'll talk about like where it went wrong. I don't know. Do you wanna start the show with talking about we'll just talk about this for a little bit? Can I take some time?
Yeah,
I want to turn the music down maybe.
Yeah.
Just a little. Yeah. Alright. So basically, I mean, everyone knows the news, so I don't need to break the news, but you have a political upset, and I think a lot of it has to do with the silent majority, which, here's a problem with that phrase. The silent majority sounds like you're being a hero, right? You're standing up for the silent majority, right?
Yeah, sure.
The silent majority whose rights have been taken away, whose voice has been taken away. But the silent majority of America,
we're seeing the opposite.
Is the complete opposite. This is so parallel to the rise of neoliberalist leaders. I'll call them leaders as being really generalist. Like neoliberal dictators. So you have Chavez, there's like Perón, Fujimori, all those not so great guys. And it's this, like, for lack of a better term, wet dream for nostalgia. It's the good old days. Like, oh, we're going to bring it back to the good old days. Like, you know, where things were simpler. So you had those voters who weren't, like, racist, but were like, I'm not voting for no city slicker, you know, for Hillary Clinton, who, yeah, did a terrible job. I don't think there's a single American, like, flag in any of her campaigns, right? She didn't appeal to that...
nationalistic
section of the population that's nationalistic, it's patriotic, because I don't think she had to. That's not an activated, that's not a mobilized, or never was a mobilized force. The last time it was mobilized was Reagan, because, you know, the Reagan Democrats, they have like the really, really poor people that voted for Reagan, and B, because he was literally overwhelmingly the best candidate. I think you'd be an idiot, like New York voted red, you know?
Yeah.
So
she probably didn't think she had to. Right?
No, of course not. Because he mobilized he didn't. It wasn't. It's. I'm sorry. Calling it the silent majority is disenfranchising people with educations. It's awful. You're literally like, it's the racist. It's a
racist
majority.
Where do you think this came from? Where do you think all of these like voters? Why did they just? Why did no one expect it? Why is?
Well. Okay, so...
Because I'm still...
I'm the winning... You know what the winning... So this is what I can't get for the life of me. When my mom woke up the day after, she called me. She was like crying, right? She's pretty upset. And she's like, I don't understand, you know, like, how hard is it for a woman to win? You know? Like, what's this hump we have against having a woman win? Yeah. And we were talking about it, and it was like, it was crazy. Like, all of what Bill said was put on her, and all of, you know, like she's being accused of pretty much all of Bill's wrongdoings. And I know people make the argument, like, oh, it sucks to say she lost because a woman. I'm not saying she lost because she's a woman. I'll give you the explanation for why she lost.
Sure.
But, like, to say that that didn't have something to do with it would be honest to that. So, my thing is that she lost, and the reason why I mentioned that is my segue is into this. She lost white women. That was the biggest, like, she was pulled to win women by 22 points. She literally, more white women, right, voted for the person who sexually assaulted, you know, than Hillary Clinton. I don't know what he tapped into that would sway opinion.
Did this happen in like the last week?
Yeah.
Was it from another FBI quote unquote scandal?
I don't know if it's like the trope of Hillary's a liar, but we elected the underwhelming presidential option. Like we elected the guy who's a unilateralist in an age of multilateralism. We elected the guy who's a populist, who tapped, like saying it how it is, it isn't necessarily a good trait, especially when it is a racist nation. And I think we have a situation of a Cold War, Civil War. It's and not fighting difference in ideologies. And what's scary is that ideology won, you know?
I know.
And we live in a microcosm. We go to a very liberal university. So remember, like, we don't necessarily understand the plight of, like, the working people. Like, we're not surviving day to day in a trailer park. So there are certain things that are going to skew how we vote. Nonetheless, this is the wrong guy. And now you have a Republican Senate, Congress. Obviously going to be Supreme Court, which, like,
that's Supreme Court. That was the thing that kind of, I remember the feeling in my stomach kind of kicked in when I started to kind of just put everything together. First, I actually started, my reaction was like, all right, I'm thinking about climate change. For some reason, that was the first thing I thought about, just because theoretically, it might be the most important issue if we happen to like be going in a steady decline for our generation. And
that's what Kyle was saying as well, yeah.
If he and Pence are like still going to hold on to this notion, let's say that China created this radical idea, what are we like? That was my concern. Then comes in my second concern is the rights of women and LGBT rights and like.
No.
We were like progressing, and then the fact that Mike Pence has these ideas, and then they could appoint someone in the Supreme Court who can hold on to these strong ideas for 40 years. Like, did we progress maybe like socially for like 8 years only to step backwards? And like, this is why we saw people crying at campus. This is why people were freaking out the night of.
Yeah, it's Obama's legacy.
It is scary. It's not upsetting. No one. It wasn't. People were pissed off. People were straight up afraid.
Oh, fear.
They were scared.
Oh, absolutely. Obama's legacy in the United States as our 44th president was one of progressive values. You know, he really like. You know, I wrote an article about like the social hump that we have to get over to be a nation that has political discourse. You need to solve the issues of God. Like, you need to be like England, right? They've solved the issues of LGBTQ rights. I mean, within the country, yeah, they're probably, you know, racist and screwed up people, but I'm just saying legally there's, you know, they solved the issue of guns. Like, no gun deaths. all from stabbing.
Yeah, obviously a different games. Obviously a different culture.
Completely different culture.
So that's why it would never work here. But
right, it would never work here. But my point is that, okay, at least they've solved the social hump. Like, that Obama did it. I mean, he's an incredible legacy. I'm going to miss him. And the thing now is, like, my mom was upset because women's rights are... I mean, what's the first thing that's going to be overturned? Roe v. Wade, abortion. Is literally goodbye government, you know, legalized abortion. It's done.
Did you see the post? Not the post, but like the most recent update on his website?
No.
He got rid of his plan to not allow any Muslims into the country.
Yeah.
He deleted that from his website.
Yeah, look, that's that whole... So, you know, he came up to give his speech. I don't know. This is why I asked at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
He was very much like, I'm going to be your president for all people. Like, he literally verbatim took, like, Hillary Clinton saying, it was as if a Democrat had won, right? It was a very neutral, inclusionist opening statement to the beginning of his presidential career. And
all bias aside, that's kind of... I guess what we as a whole could hope for.
Well,
because that's why people got so pissed and scared. Why is that really?
I'll tell you why it's scarier.
I mean, we've seen it happen, like not that in this form, but we've seen people stay to the right, stay to the left. Obviously, this is like a part of politics, and then they kind of go towards the moderate middle to like appease everyone.
Well, I'll tell you why it's a farce. He went up and I have to say, well, whatever, I'm not going to give him any credit, but he made a decent speech, right?
Sure.
A speech that was like, you know, I'm going to be the president for all people. He was being a good guy. Okay, fine. But hardliner Republicans, like Paul Ryan, like real Republican leaders... who didn't give him support, were ecstatic. It hit them. They're like, oh my God, we've got a Republican Congress. Yeah. We've got a Republican everything. So they all caps, like tweets, congratulations to the Republican Party. Like Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell.
We just expected.
The Koch brothers were like, we're going to fund Republican values. We don't like Donald Trump. We're like, yeah, Donald, like, let's go. It is a complete, like, the red eyes have...
Time to piggyback.
Have opened. And you have... Let's take a look at his cabinet, right? Mike Pence is a bona fide conservative. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, this guy is a... He's... Jesus. And then, dude, his literal, like, main campaign advisor is a neo-Nazi who used to work for Breitbart. The former head of Breitbart. He's a neo-Nazi. He's literally a neo-Nazi. Like, he is a self, like, acclaimed neo-Nazi.
Did you see Lewandowski speak about the former campaign manager? Did you see him speak on CNN?
Yeah, like, well, probably.
Who is the guy who had a really compelling speech on CNN and, like, was talking, said, like, how can I explain this to my kids in the morning? You remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
It wasn't Corey Lewandowski. It was,
No, Lewandowski was the other guy. Lewandowski, at one point, was being so rude and, like, just ridiculous that he said, Corey, can you stop? You're being a horrible person right now. Because he wouldn't let him speak.
Yeah, wait, it's right here.
It was driving me nuts.
The where's the outrage speak? It was Van Jones. Is that Van Jones?
Yeah,
Van
that's
Jones.
Him.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's what I was talking about. So, do you think the statistics show? Last time we were in this situation with all Republicans in the House was 1928, a year before the Great Depression. What do you think is going to happen economically? We know we have a little sense about why everyone's upset about the social repercussions possibly that are going to happen. But what do you think about economically?
Well, here's where I'm actually hopeful. I would say this is where I'm hopeful. So Trump it's not a shock. He's a unilateralist, but his cabinet, his running mate, has publicly disagreed with that economic policy. It's also not conservative. Like, conservatives are into manufacturing, but they know that we live in an era of globalization. They know we can't survive on our own. We need trade deals. We need trade deals for two reasons. We need trade deals because we can't produce everything. It's no longer an era where the United States is a production powerhouse. We're an economic powerhouse because of the second reason why we need trade deals, which is we peddle influence in other countries. We peddle influence in Southeast Asia. We peddle influence in Latin America. It's good that we peddle influence. NATO, right? So you have now a president that is unilateralist, right? He only believes that the United States should be the producer and manufacturer of everything, which is, like, obviously for our carbon footprint is...
Ooh, forget about it.
With China on the rise, it could either...
Well, it's dangerous because you cannot leave China alone. You know, to have influence. I mean, the beauty of Obama is that his relations, he would meet with, like, the Vietnamese, the head of Vietnam every single year, and he would conduct trade with Southeast Asian countries. And, is that gone? I don't know, because that's not very typically Republican either. I mean, it's Republican to have less of that.
Yeah.
But it's not Republican to, like, his vision isn't Republican. His vision is nostalgic. You know, it's, so we'll see.
That's a big component that you've talked about before as well.
Yeah, no, nostalgia is what won him the election. It's whatever the good old day, you know, when he said bad hombres, that was from a movie.
Really?
Yeah, it was from, like, the spaghetti westerns. And it makes sense that, I mean, if you look at the trend of America, this was going to happen. The rising culture of, you know, like, it's, they...
You didn't think it was...
They finally got...
I didn't think it was going
to win. They finally got their guy that makes them safe to say, like, racist, that, you know, the guy they can hide behind. They finally got their excuse for bigoted statements, you know? Like, you can't say that. Well, now I can.
And that's dangerous. You saw that yesterday a little bit. Yeah, I know. It's obvious. It's awful.
That's dangerous. It's really dangerous. It's dangerous for...
My last question would be, he has all these allegations coming up in the next month or two. One, what do you think is going to happen before January? And also, we've seen colliding heads between... A, people now have a viable, not viable, sorry. People are have an excuse or now feel more justified to speak their mind, and people have been criticized for, like, wearing a hijab, like, on the subway, and, like people say things to their neighbors now. Also, we've seen riots, not riots, maybe protests in the streets. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think people need to do? And also, what do you think is going to happen in the next 2 months with Trump? Before his presidency and all these allegations. That's basically my final thing.
So the allegations, so Trump is like Teflon, right? The allegations are going to be brushed aside. There's going to be it's done. Our country just said, nope, he didn't sexually harass anyone. You know, it's done. And as Obama said, the sun comes up the next day. You know, we still, that's the beauty. That's literally the beauty of Barack Obama. It made me cry. He said one thing and it made me cry. But literally, I freaking love him. I absolutely adore that man. I want to give him a giant hug. But, what was I going to say? Brush aside. My teacher predicted that he would not make it through 4 years because I almost hope he does. I don't want Mike Pence to be our president, but he...
Yeah, I'm feeling something.
You're feeling the same thing. But anyways, he's going to get caught into some scandal. He's going to get caught into something. It's literally going to be like a money bribe from Russia or... I know that's like hardcore speculation, but my Latin American politics teacher has studied every neo-populist leader. There's been about 50 of them. And she's like, no, it all ends down the same road, I promise. But she says this is a critical juncture. We will now have these type of candidates. It's very hard to revert back. You know, if
The reason he really swooped in on those beliefs and that type of campaigning, oh. And people are gonna like be like, let's embrace it. It worked clearly.
Yeah, right. He did the impossible. Yeah.
We thought Clinton would win by.
There's gonna be this argument that like even if he has the worst, even if the free like you know we got like nuked, it's gonna be like, oh, he was a real like avant-garde president and. Like let's go and there's gonna be this trend of yeah we're leading down an ideological path that is danger. It's chaos. What you asked me about protesting too. What's my opinion on that?
My question is, what do you think is going to happen, or what people do you think people do have to do in regards to the colliding heads of people protesting and the other on the opposite spectrum people saying things they shouldn't say now, feeling like they are justified to say it, which are extremely
a testament to my Cold War Civil War statement.
Do you think it's going to carry on?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
this is, sorry to interrupt because I asked the question. This is like, I feel like this is the hardest time for people to come to grips with the fact that like, okay, we lost and we need to support our president and whatever he does. I feel like the first night I was just like, no, I don't know if I can do that. Like, it's like, right now, I know I can't. I'm going to have to. But, like, I can't see, like, the American population just being like, okay, yeah, let's come together.
Yeah.
I feel like we're more divided now.
No, I mean, Hillary Clinton said we're more divided now. And she gave a very good concession speech.
No, she did. She was a good loser.
She's great. I love her.
She's obviously clearly proved her qualifications.
Oh. She didn't have to even prove her
30 years of experience.
Yeah,
female.
Right. Like, right, exactly.
And then they'll be like, it has nothing to do with her being a woman and being a male.
It's bullshit. Excuse me, I curse on air, but like it's my anger is overwhelming.
I'll let that slide. Maybe we'll have like a little like I say we get a little audio thing, like a button, and every time you're gonna curse, we just press like a Trump button, like wrong.
Wrong.
That's wrong.
Wait, but I have a very insightful thing to say about protests. In my I think that in American politics, you often see incumbents, like congressmen running again or congresswomen. It's already social conditioning. Like I'm getting like my brain.
You're the problem.
I'm the problem. Run for position again and. You know, if it's a senator, it's 6 years. If it's a House of Representatives, it's every 2 years. It's a freaking election. You literally spend 1 year doing stuff and 1 year focusing on getting reelected. And they have to be delegates. They can't be trustees. Do you get what I'm saying? They have to respond to their constituency.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. I understand. Sorry.
To get their spot back, because incumbents have 90% reelection rate. Because usually, when you're running for Congress, it's your first political job. So, I'm saying that because I think the louder we are, the more Donald Trump has to be a delegate and not a trustee. The more Donald Trump has to be like, "Yo, this is." Like, there's a problem, people are rioting, blah, blah, blah. And the less he's going to be like, oh, I got this. Don't worry, I'm going to vote in what I think are your best interests. So we have to be loud. And we have to hold on to the light that was, you know, blown out yesterday. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to do, but we especially can't give up now. And so I don't know how effective these protests that are going on right now are, but the second things hit the table, threaten congressmen and women with re-election. Be like, vote the way our district wants to vote, because Hillary Clinton won the popular vote.
Yeah.
So more than half of America is gonna be like, no, we don't want this thing.
It's hard to keep people politically involved, you know?
Yeah. And there was a culture that I think like I'm just gonna you know, like, University of Arizona probably were, like, because of, like, you know, like, total frat move and all that shit, were probably, like, yeah, like, Trump all the way, and you have, you know, like, women who are, like, Trump train, like, put that girl in prison, like... Like, what's going to happen when abortion hits the table? I literally think that there's no woman, unless you're in the Westboro Baptist Church, who's pro-life. Like, what's going to happen? Well, what needs to happen?
Well, that's kind of a generalization. You know what I mean? There's obviously people.
Well, there are, but I mean, according to a litany of polls, I mean, that those people don't exist.
I totally understand what you're saying.
So I think... Yeah, now we have to be stronger than ever. Is my message to everyone I see. It's like, well, a very dark age in American politics, but this beautiful country has survived one of many of dark ages, and we can beat this Cheeto. So,
all right.
Yeah, let's change the subject.
All right, let's just... Yeah. All right, a lighter note. We'll just do a little public service announcement. I'll bring up the mood. You know, asking, do you want diabetes?
Do you want diabetes?
That is what I turned on the radio for.
I always open it to it.
It's a picture of Paula.
Freaking Christ.
That's messed up. Just imagining... Fellow Bostonian driving to work, like, yes, time for my public service announcement about diabetes at 6:27 in the morning.
That's a good one. Prisoner population rate world. Okay, so.
See, the rhetoric is already started. The rhetoric's already here.
We're slowly getting.
I thought you were going to do it. I thought you were going to, like, say, like, prison population went up one yesterday.
Exactly. No, I don't know. I have no more Hillary
jokes. I'm not ready for this, man.
No more Hillary jokes.
I'm not ready for this.
I would for for those who don't know, I would make jokes a lot. No more jokes. Not funny.
It's not funny.
Not funny anymore. But literally I tried to make a joke yesterday and
everyone's just like
No.
Oh yeah, by the way, Tufts University, just a graveyard.
Oh, yesterday. It is a graveyard. Oh my god.
Every conversation.
Oh my god.
Walking around. It's pretty similar.
Freaking.
But then I hear, how you doing? No answer, just a shake of the head, like, no, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right, sorry.
To the public service. All right, a PSA. Numbers to think about: worldwide prison populations. The United States is the world's largest documented prison population, both in absolute and proportional terms.
True. We heard Bernie talk about that.
Yeah.
RIP.
RIP, man. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, more than 2.2 million prisoners are behind bars in the United States, a rate 730 per 100,000 people. 1.51 million in prison, a rate... Wait, hold on. China, which is four times more populous than the United States, is a distant second, with 1.51 million people in prison, a rate of 117 per 100,000. Or Russia has the second highest rate, which is 606 per 100,000.
Can't hear you, man. What number was that?
606 per 100,000 for a total of 865,000 prisoners.
Okay. Interesting.
I was going to make a comment about Russia. I have to.
Fine. Do it.
Trump supporter is like, oh, our relations with Russia are going to be better now than they ever were in the history of the United States. Now, I'm Russian, okay? So let me... I'm not going to speak on behalf of Russia, but I'm going to tell you that every corner of Russian media... And it's so blatant, but every corner of Russian media is like, thank God he won. Russia's going to rise. Like, you understand?
It's not good for us, maybe. It's good for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're like, they wanted him because they know that with Hillary Clinton, she's going to keep them in line. And so Russia is one of the worst economies in the world. Yesterday was one of the greatest days in their market in the history. And dude, yesterday markets crashed every. You know that, right?
Yeah,
every market went down. I mean, because it, whatever, they'll go down for a day. It's the market reacts to unpredictability, right? It's predictable that Hillary Clinton will win. She didn't. Market goes down. It's just common sense. But Russia is having a field day, and Putin, first thing he says is like, "Oh, we're gonna have great relations." Like, you know, he's come on, he's the most manipulative human. Like, Donald Trump's gonna negotiate with Putin. Like, good luck. Like, putting Trump on, you know, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's listen to music.
It's been a good 30 minutes talking about this. We could probably go for another 30 if we wanted to, but
yeah, I could. I have the juice. You know, I just don't have the moral.
Let's just get into the, that's whether you're feeling happy or sad, you can find solace in music.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's one of my favorite things. Well, I'm gonna play a song, and the first song I'm gonna play is actually kind of similar to what I was feeling during the election. I was waiting patiently for a specific state of Pennsylvania and their votes, and it wasn't really getting much, and I was just kind of antsy. Anyway, this is a good song by a band called Colorado. I saw it because they had a sick music video when I was like in sixth grade, but anyway, I'm gonna play it. You're okay. You don't have to say anything. You're just like, Bruh! He's like scrambling. I didn't even turn your mic on yet. Oh. Now you're on.
Shit.
Why are you curse, man? You're gonna get a fine. We're gonna ban you. You're like that rowdy guest that like someone invites to the radio show. They're like, dude, stop cursing. Like, I want to talk to you, but you're ruining my IFC policies. No. All right. That was, now I'm angry. I'm gonna say this like angrily. That was Americanorama by Colorado. And the first lyrics are, "Hey Philadelphia." Yeah, we were waiting. The joke was we were waiting for Pennsylvania.
Oh, and they went.
Stop.
They went red. How do we lose? How do we lose?
I'm gonna get you a muzzle. She's like, can't control you.
Next song.
God, next song is by Muse, off their album from 2001. Oh, and this song has a really cool guitar riff, and it sounds weird, but their chorus is just awesome. It's a mix of alternative and angst and like
weird stuff.
Plugin Baby by Muse.
Muse.
Le Muse by Plugin. The Plugin Baby song.
I've exhausted my voice box from that.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Political conversation.
Maybe you should relax. Considering you've got such a foul mouth out of nowhere. All right.
I have potty mouth.
All right. I'm playing a Young the Giant song next.
Thank God.
Yo, did you know? I just found this out. So I type in. Samir Gadia, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, the singer of Young the Giant. I type his name in because I'm like, yeah, maybe he has like a Wikipedia page. He's getting pretty popular. The first link is from the Stanford Daily, and it's all about him and his and their rise as Young the Giant. He went to Stanford.
He what?
Yeah, he was at Stanford.
Oh my god!
In an a cappella group, in Sigma Nu, which, by the way, got kicked off of Tufts. He was in a frat, and like the article is basically like he's on the rise. His band Young Giants doing pretty well, and he dropped out because obviously like they were doing well.
They're doing well,
and he's like, I think he was going for med school, and like his parents are like, just please graduate, like do your thing with your band, but please graduate eventually. So he wants to go back. Damn, he's like one of the smartest people. Or he went to one of the schools that's the hardest to get into. I didn't know. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I found out some cool group love facts. Yeah, at the concert, the guitarist was like, Boston, what's up? Like, anyone from Emerson College? And like, there's like a people in the middle, like, yeah! And he's like, yeah, I went there for a year. And then I left. And he like started laughing. He's like, I was easily the most normal one there. And like group was like a weird group. So it was, yeah. Just, it was just really funny the way he
said it.
That's
so funny.
Yeah.
That's actually hilarious.
Yeah. And found out the drummer studied like music business at Southern California.
At USC?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a smart guy.
Smart guy. And his dad was in the band Yes.
Okay.
And so I believe that's where he had his... musical outlets because he had like a record studio. That's how like group love kind of just, like, got yeah, going. Yeah. But yeah, really interesting dude. Apparently, he had a band in high school called The Outline, which like he always laughs about. Like he doesn't like to think about it. Apparently, but I looked it up. They're on Spotify. I'm not gonna play their song, but like it's really funny. It's like a punk band.
Really bad.
They got a record deal. Like he like they toured around and like then they just got dropped from the record deal. Apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not. It's, if it's your taste, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's interesting. All right, well, we really don't have that much time. I'm going to play the song by Young the Giant and then maybe like one more song. The song's off of Mind Over Matter. I'm not going to go into their my opinion on their third album, but this is from their second album, which I enjoy thoroughly.
Third album's not so great.
It's a mystery night, like a sawed-off shotgun in the morning. The shine is gone.
bad, Steven. You don't have to know what we were talking about. Yeah, that's Camera by the Young the Giant. We're going to play one more song and then just head out.
Call it a day.
Thanks for listening if there was like two people listening.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Shout out to my mom and your mom.
This is cool because it was like the archives. There's archives on this show where you can listen to it afterwards. But the problem now is they delete after every 2 weeks. So it's like I can only listen to it like once and be like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then like, bye.
I'm going to record this one.
Yeah, we should just like record the next
or
one.
Or download. On our phone. Can you download the archive?
I don't know how. We gotta get like some comps. I gotta do it or something.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get a friend.
Eli.
Eli. Next year. All right. Well, you got one more song by the good old Tokyo Police Club.
I remember them when they like made their first song. And I was like, this band sucks. And I was like, okay, they're good.
You're ripping on Tokyo Police Club?
Dude,
you're probably about to go like hang out with them because they're, you know, Canadian, probably.
That's true.
Mass influx of population.
We're in a Canada.
It sounded like a curse. I said mass influx of cop population. But anyway, this is this is subjectively objective. I'm Pierce Devlin.
I'm Stephen Honig.
What?
I'm depressed.
It's not funny. That's something to joke about.
Yeah, that's true. All right, my name is Stephen Honig, and I'm sad about this election.
Okay, that's better. Yeah. Careful. Well, I mean, technically, you have to be more careful about your mouth. Cause
yeah, I was about to say.
Freedom of speech is a huge thing
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I can say whatever I want.
All right, before we leave, I say we just let out one yell. No cursing.
On no the cursing? Count of
three. No okay. cursing. Be careful.
Okay.
I'll put a muzzle on you, and you can shout. Back away from the mic. Just a quick yell.
Ready, set.
That's how I feel. All right, we're playing a little Tokyo Police Club. You were like, ah, and I was like, ah! I was like literally screaming. You didn't understand what I was talking about. Now I feel weird.
No, you're fine.
All right, you're listening to 915 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Mefod.